P.S. I Love Hoffman is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Iggy Pop! Amen! Let it rock!
I'm a fucking idiot.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
I'm an artist.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Cody.
Why don't you have some fun?
Fun.
Tommy?
It's a cave thing.
Whoever she is, I'm going to find her and I'm going to hurt her.
I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish.
I'm always home. I'm uncool.
This is a process of dehypnotization.
Shut up!
Need a little bit of water.
Hey, Hoff fans. Welcome to P.S. I Still Love Hoffman, our love letter to the remarkable career of the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm still Brian Rodriguez.
And I'm still Kyle Reinfried.
And these days, we are indeed always home. We're always uncool. And we're always ready to watch Philip Seymour Hoffman films again. Aren't we, Kyle?
Yes. Separate homes. We're practicing safe social distancing, self-quarantining, all that wonderful stuff of this new world we live in.
Yeah, but it's given us the chance to do a record for us, 3 live rewatches this month.
Ay caramba.
Good one, yeah. I could see the, your wit is getting sharper in your quarantine.
Yes. Knives are getting dull. The wit, though, they're indeed getting sharp.
So we had our April Fool's special, which was Shuler. Then we put the poll up, and it was 2 very near and dear projects to Philip Seymour Hoffman. It was Love, Liza versus Jack Goes Boating. And in our closest vote ever, Love, Liza won. So that was our, real rewatch of the month. And then we said, why the hell not? Let's do the other movie, the second place movie. It was only second place.
The boating movie.
one of the many Hoffman boat films. And that's Jack Goes Boating. Before we start, what are your thoughts on Jack Goes Boating? Do you remember anything from our first analysis on it, on the original run?
I remember not thinking it's necessarily great. Again, a really good performance from him, but not necessarily. I think we kind of came to the decision that maybe it belongs just on the stage versus, or just it would play better as a theater piece versus a movie.
Yeah, I mean, every time we record, we're like, oh, we should have listened to
it. I know, I was going to say, and clearly, once again, did not listen.
So, Kyle, I'm going to give you some advice, and the advice is for all the Hoff fans out there. Go onto your Google Play, go onto your Apple Podcast, go onto your Stitcher, go onto your Spotify, and even do this. Alexa, play P.S. I Love Hoffman podcast.
Here's P.S. I Love Hoffman, a film-by-film retrospective of Philip Seymour Hoffman from Apple Podcasts. Continuing the latest episode, P.S.
Alexa plays
Hoffman.
It. Alexa, stop. Liza. We don't want to do a whole space-time continuum with multiple podcasts at once, but you get the point. It's the easiest thing to do. Cue up the episode for Jack Goes Boating and do more research than we did.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, we had a great guest in Joanna Arcieri, and I remember recording. I was living in Hoboken at the time. I remember that. And I remember having just the conversation being that women are not treated well in this story.
That's going to be interesting to see on this watch for sure. And again, guys, this is a rewatch. We've rented it on Amazon, and when I say play, that's when you'll press play. I'm at 000, so you want to get your Amazon queued up there. Give you a second to do that. And just remind you, too, that you can also check the show out at cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me, home of both our other shows, Kyle, mine, High School Slumber Party, and your other show, of course, Foodie Films, as you are the Foodie Films man. Oh, and one more reminder before we start. This is directed by Philip Seymour Hoffman, his directorial debut.
Yes. So I'm looking forward to watching it with a close eye and analyzing it in that sense.
So I'm ready if you are, Kyle.
I'm ready. Let's go boating.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, play. Overture.
but not a late quartet overture.
A Starz Company. Okay.
Why is this not on Starz? Why can't we watch this on Starz?
I mean, maybe we could. We have? I don't know.
It didn't offer it when I did a search for it on my Roku.
That's annoying. Big Beach. These are production companies I'm not really familiar with.
No, but it makes sense. Big Beach goes boating. The aquatic theme continues.
Cooperstown. But it's not Cooperstown like New York, because it's two words here. Ooh. Right away, our main man. Makes sense. He looks so different than him in Love, Liza.
Yeah. Well, I think this is separated by 8 years. Love, Liza, what was that? 2001? 2002? I think this is at least separated by... This is 2010, I know that.
8 years, but many, many, many films. At least in terms of impactful films in his career, you know?
Now there we go. We get one of his oldest friends and Labyrinth Theater co-founder, if I'm not mistaken, John Ortiz.
I love John Ortiz.
He's in so many things.
Very underrated. Very underrated.
Also, definitely covered in a a fellow Cage Club Podcast Network show, Too Fast to Forever.
Yes, he plays Braga in the Fast and Furious series.
Can you say that one more time for me?
No. Braga. Arturo Braga, I think, is his first name. I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
I forgot that they're like...
Me, like too.
Limo drivers.
Yeah. He does not look to be dressed for the role.
And the reggae music playing in the background. I also forgot, too, there's a lot of reggae influence in this film randomly.
I think we brought up, it'd be great if I could remember by listening to our past episode, but I think we made some Joey Breaker kind of...
Oh, yeah! Wow, that's a deep cut.
Yeah.
If you guys know that reference, you're big fans of the show.
Mainly positive.
And then he goes, some of the words I don't get, so it's hard to commit. It's great dialogue.
Yeah, again, it has that stage vibe. I wish I could have, obviously, seen him in it. That's not possible, but maybe someday if I see that it's playing somewhere, I'll go see it on the stage.
I wonder if he enjoyed directing film. I'm sure he enjoyed directing theater. He talked about it, but I wonder if he enjoyed directing film.
I wonder too. I mean, he clearly surrounded himself with people that he loved and had already collaborated with. So that has to, well, if they don't have egos, I have to assume that makes it easier for you as a director.
Amy Ryan, collaborator of his.
Yeah. Jack's a sweetheart.
I've been craving Chinese food.
Me too.
Daphne Rubin Vega. And most of them are closed. Did you see that?
Yeah. Though I've got one of the best in Jersey City is on the corner of my street, and they've been closed for a month now at least.
Wow.
Yeah, they closed down right away. You married.
Now, like today, Uber drivers are encouraged to speak, right? Like, I mean, maybe not in New York, in other cities, though. Like, they are, because you could rate them for like having a good conversation with you. Yeah. I don't want a conversation with them. Maybe in a different city. It's kind of cool in a different city when I don't know, you know? But here in New York, no thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, whenever I go to New Orleans, like, I'm having a conversation as soon as I, like... Like, any place. I'm just like, hey, I'm going here. What do you think about it?
Oh, yeah. You going up to Chapa Chulas?
They got gator bites. They're all fine.
Do you remember what movie Daphne Rubin Vega was also in of Philip Seymour Hoffman's?
Flawless?
Correct. It seemed like you guessed.
Yeah. I'm not exactly proud of why I made that guess.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I just know the movie takes place in, like, kind of like a Spanish neighborhood. So
okay. I thought you were going to be like, oh, I thought she played a drag queen. I'm like, what? Because she's in Rent? So she's the original.
Yeah.
You've seen the Rent movie, right?
Well, oop, foodie scene. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Chinese food. No, but so she's like the original one of who Rosario Dawson plays in the movie.
Yeah.
I thought you were making like a that kind of connection.
Oh, no, 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 no. And some of those thoughts like came back, like that conversation, like, but I wasn't positive, but I was like, but the one that gave me the courage to guess that was, you know, diversity in neighborhoods.
You and I always talk about, like, dream podcast, and, you know, there's not enough time in the world, even though these days it seems like it, but still, you know, to watch the movies, to talk about it, and really to devote time. Both you and I have two podcasts already. I'm going bi-weekly on one of mine. You're going weekly on yours. We're doing Hoffman, too. But one of my dream podcasts, as a Latino American, I've wanted to do, like, kind of a focus on, like, Latin actors, Latin directors. And, you know, it would be like, again, it'll never happen probably, but it would be like John Ortiz, for example. Like, we pick four John Ortiz films, and that's what we do for July. The next month is Oscar Isaac. The next month is Guillermo del Toro, you know? And just
that'd
kind
be
of.
Cool.
It is cool, but I need a Latin co-host, so I don't have one yet.
No, just bring me. It'll be called, like, you know, Dominican and the Gringo or something. I don't know.
Chico and the Man.
Chico, exactly. Just like...
Chico and the Ham.
Wow.
That's not that bad, honestly.
It's not that... Yeah, it's not that bad. And I'm just like... And I, every time I'll just... I'll say like, Hamon, and you'll be like, no, you don't get to say that.
So what's his relationship with Amy Ryan?
What's his relationship?
Yeah. No, 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 sorry. What, you know, the characters.
Yeah, no, no, no. They're just... So Amy Ryan works with John Ortiz's wife. You just said her name before. I forget the actress's name already.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And obviously, and they work together, so they're just playing matchmakers. So this is the first time they're meeting.
This is their meet-cute, technically. I just wanted to confirm.
Yeah. And he's... Man, like... Is there a reason? Do you remember if there's a reason behind this hat?
I don't know, but then eventually, like, it looks interesting with his hair choices.
Yeah,
that
well, he's got the whole dread thing going on because I guess he's listening to the reggae music, but... Ooh, Brian, what cerveza are you drinking?
Well, Kyle, I'm glad you asked. It's our official sponsor. No, I'm just joking. No, one of the breweries that's still delivering is Oyster Bay Brewery in Long Island. I ordered a mixed pack, and this one I'm drinking, or about to drink, is called Barn Rocker. It's the official beer of the New York Islanders.
Ooh. Would you be comfortable carrying the load of this podcast for about 15 seconds while I go grab a beverage?
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Someone recently said that was their favorite part of a podcast recently when I was... alone doing the voices on Shuler. So.
Oh, really?
Not a diss for you.
It sounds like it. Did Joey say
no,
it?
No, because I was like... No comment, no comment.
Anything that Kyle isn't in is way better. Okay, excuse me while I go grab a refreshing beer. That was just delivered to me recently.
Ooh, a little... Is that a little bit of the marijuana that he's smoking here? Now that Kyle's away, I'll take this opportunity to dub the voices, if you haven't. Well, it doesn't work as well as does with Shuler, I'll tell you that much. But I honestly can't think of many movies where I've seen Philip Seymour Hoffman smoke weed. I'll ask Kyle when he comes back.
Oh, right, and I'm back. What did I miss?
Well, I was just going to ask you, how many movies have you seen Philip Seymour Hoffman smoke weed in?
I would assume Almost Famous. Like, none of these I remember for sure.
I don't think you see him smoke weed in Almost Famous.
No, him, not when he's, like, sitting on the floor just surrounded by his records. He doesn't have, like, a joint roll.
I think he has a cigarette. Just like a regular non-marijuana cigarette.
Maybe then pirate radio?
It's possible in pirate radio. I know he definitely doesn't in Boogie Nights, despite, you know, a lot of drugs there. He doesn't really do drugs in the film. But, yeah, I mean, I was like, that's interesting, because he just, him and John Ortiz had a joint.
Nice.
And not a Spike Lee joint. Can you name?
Not a 25th hour.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you name the
That Hoffman sounds like a joint? Name of, like, how, like, drugs are named, you know? Like, This is the 25th hour.
And what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Mango of the Sea by Bricks City, a place that we've visited together.
Mm.
In Little Ferry,
New Jersey.
So I've
been to Bricks City. I've also been to Oyster Bay. You've never been to Oyster Bay?
Have you?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, well, I'm just...
But I don't think I've been with you. Okay. I think if we're allowed to, if the rules allow us to, definitely we should go to Oyster Bay Brewery because it's the same town as Sagamore Hill, Theodore Roosevelt's, his estate, his presidential home is in Oyster Bay.
Awesome. So what do we have? So Amy Ryan was kind of having that a little bit of a breakdown moment in the bathroom?
A little bit, but it wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
This is him talking about boating.
This is the moment, the name of the movie. Yeah, the beer is quite delicious. Ooh, yeah.
A boat trip in the summer came up, so that's technically, on paper, their next date.
I know some people like this, and like how, this is how like their mind works. Like,
who?
I'm not gonna name names, but like just that they have to, you know, they're like one thing a day is like a lot on their plate. They're probably thriving right now in this world.
No comment. I know who you're talking about. I know there's a lot of people you could be talking about, but I know one.
No, I know a lot of people. That's what I'm saying. I know a lot of people like that. And I think he falls into that camp. Because I don't think he's necessarily supposed to be on the spectrum, kind of, right?
I don't think officially. I mean, who knows? We're all on the spectrum somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
I know. It's just something that's so easily thrown around as a diagnosis these days. They're just trying to make you understand someone better. But he's just socially...
He's definitely socially awkward, yeah.
Yeah.
I like them together. Like this couple.
Yeah.
John Ortiz and Daphne Rubin Vega.
They believe they have good chemistry. They're believable in that way.
Queensboro Bridge, a.k.a. the 59th Street Bridge.
Is that official from the Manhattan side or the Queens side?
I'd have to go back. I wasn't really looking that hard. It looked like the Manhattan side.
Okay, so she works for a company. What are they talking about? Is it a helpline?
Well, it's like a, what do you call it? What are these jobs?
Telemarketers?
Telemarketers, yeah.
Yeah, but it's for something pretty specific, right? I think in the...
Well, we'll find out soon enough. I recently did a very obscure high school film on my podcast called Swim Fan.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen Swim Fan?
Yeah.
Wow. It's one of these movies...
What's that actress's name?
Erica Christensen?
Yeah.
She had a little moment. She's like a kind of knockoff Julie Stiles, but...
Isn't she... No, never mind. I was thinking of somebody else. Never mind. But I know who she is, though, in that movie.
She's in Traffic. She's in Perfect Score. She's in a couple movies.
Yeah.
But it just reminded me because literally, you know, that's like a pool movie. This is a pool movie. I forgot. Like, this is more of a pool movie than I remembered as well. Wow. I didn't remember a lot from this film.
Yeah. I always found it's like it's Jack Goes Boating, but it's almost like more important than the film. I guess he's learning how also to swim in case he goes on a boat and the boat tips.
Yeah.
Jar Cheese is such a good friend in this movie.
He is a great friend character. Not saying he can't lead a movie. I think he can. I don't think he's just given the opportunity to lead a movie. But I know you weren't so hot on this film when it came out, but maybe a lot of that is like the Eagles and Philadelphia connection. But Silver Linings Playbook, he's like Bradley Cooper's friend.
Yeah.
Julia Stiles. We just mentioned her.
There we go.
He's Julia Stiles' husband in that movie. And I thought he was great in that film. Like, he's one of my favorite parts of that movie as just like, I don't know, this friend character, you know? It's very similar to his character here.
Yeah. If the movie was just about him, it would have been a great movie, but it was about a garbage team.
This is, to me, in my opinion, and this is not a diss to Hoffman, you know I wouldn't do that, but this is very much an actor directing. You're getting a lot of point of view shots, you know? You're getting a lot of time with the character. Which I don't mind. I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm.
Which also, I think, being familiar, you know, with the stage adaptation, the stage version of this, that's all you have to, you know. I mean, if you're in an audience, you're looking at the actors on the stage. So I think he's also. I have no idea. But if I was a betting man, I would say if you're an actor, you know, like a stage actor, when you read something, you and your fellow actors must be like, oh man, wouldn't it be great if we could express ourselves in this shot, like underwater and smiling?
Mm-hmm.
But
no, definitely.
You don't get to do that on stage most likely, I would assume.
I hope we get beaches this summer. Not to be a downer, but that's what everyone's saying.
Oh, yeah. I was just reading about... I mean, I don't know if that was saying all New York beaches or maybe just the city. I don't know how that works.
Well, de Blasio's always like the first to ban things, but if it follows suit, it's going to be pretty much all beaches.
Wow. What about private beaches? How does that work?
Can't really enforce that, so...
To the sound we go.
Don't tell.
That was, I meant the sound of the ocean. That's what I was saying. The,
yes.
The waves crashing and such. Who?
Yeah. Okay.
I love her bluntness.
Yeah.
She's like, it's almost, I feel like she's definitely imposing, like, I mean, you know, where they are in their relationship, and I feel like she wants him to take charge and be a bit more passionate, probably. So she's saying, you know, that Jack needs to hook up this time.
Gotcha.
I think. I don't know. How is he not getting locked out behind him? It's a three-door process there.
Maybe he has his keys in his robe.
I love the socks and sandals, the robe.
If he's got socks and sandals, he might have his keys in his robe.
Dude, do you know what neighborhood they're supposed to be in?
I didn't really see much of where their location was, you know. They were in, the limo place was in Long Island City, and we've been seeing a lot of the Queensboro Bridge. That's an F train, so maybe this does take place in Long Island City. Maybe it takes place just over, you know, the bridge in Manhattan somewhere. I don't know. They haven't been, like, really establishing shots. Ew. Sorry. Hope she knows this guy, okay.
No, I remember that's, like, the whole thing. I think she gets...
Oh, God. I blocked this out of my mind. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, this is the moment. I mean, that was the big part of the conversation with Joanna, was that women in this movie are just being, like, used as a tool for, you know, to feel certain things, you know, like, not really, they're not developed upon.
Oh my god. Oh god, I forgot how graphic this image is. Oh my god.
Oh god. I forgot this too. Like how...
Okay, so I'm trying to... Oh, do we learn he followed her?
I think we get a flashback of sorts. I think.
Ugh. I kind of understand why some people might have a problem with this. Like, to move the plot along, there was violence against women. We discussed this in Patch Adams, famously, on PS I Love Hoffman.
Yeah, which is a way, worse movie than this.
John Harden, who we had... What episodes have we... Oh, Capote. He was on Twister, too.
Yeah.
I recently had him on High School Slumber Party for Dead Poets Society. And it sort of came up just like violence in movies. And one of the things that came up was the Patch Adams episode, actually. And we had discussed, what that means. And he says it's called fridging. Have you heard this term?
Fridging? No.
So, and there's a famous Green Lantern comic. I believe it's the Green Lantern. It's some superhero. Where his girlfriend is cut up and put in the fridge.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and, it makes him, go on this, vendetta. And it's a whole, reason to motivate him. And people who've studied this have pointed... they've just used as an example, but people who have studied this have pointed to that as being why did you need to do all that to have him go on a vendetta? You didn't need to kill his girlfriend and cut her up and put her in the fridge. So I wonder if people watching, especially people who are maybe sensitive to that, see this moment as that, I hope not, because,
they're definitely not as bad as fridging in the sense that her...
But that's the extreme example.
Yeah, but, in the sense that, her character still does get, some development. She gets more screen time and stuff like that. I know people had a problem with, that also then happened in Deadpool 2, because everyone really enjoyed, I'm forgetting the actress's name, but from, Firefly and stuff like that.
Oh, Deadpool 2 is actually, where it came up a lot. And some people have said, oh, they did it just to kind of make fun of that, but then they actually did it, It's, everyone liked Deadpool 1 anyway, better, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a pretty... Does he have a koala there?
Mm-hmm.
It's one good thing I think I saw happening in the world, koalas are being released back into the wild in Australia.
Well, that's good.
Being put in their habitats, so...
So I guess the question would be to, maybe, quote-unquote, haters of that and what's happened is, would the plot have moved without this happening? And could there have been another way to move the plot? What year is this, by the way? What year is this movie?
2010.
2010, so... The world's changed a lot in 10 years, man,
Oh, definitely.
I don't know if it's as heavy as traditional fridging, but maybe this isn't how it's written today, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so right now what we're getting from her attack is that before they go on a second date, I believe this is the second time they're seeing one another. It's the dinner,
mm-hmm,
with the other couple, their friends, and then this moment. Okay, and so from there, it's maybe we could do something before summer. As of right now, because I don't remember if it plays out in any other way. Um, Okay, this is all leading, I think, to the dinner, like, that's, like, kind of, like, the finale of this movie when he has his big freak out. So, I'm just trying to determine, because my memory's not, you know, if it's serving me correctly, that because of this act of violence, they're having this second conversation, and that's all that comes from it. So, the only other thing, I guess, that you would learn, that you would get from this act of violence happening in this story versus getting this scene and getting them talking again, planning on a date before summertime, would be learning about Amy Ryan's character and the little moments of, like, seeing her, like, that reveal of her all bloody, that she still went into work and she's, like, either in shock or, what, you know, like, just little things like her character, just as far as that she's still working and she's giving it, you know, like, the job that she's not doing terribly great at, she's giving it her all, no matter, even though this horrible thing happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but right, someone was pressing up against me. Like, it's not like this turns into... It's not like Jack goes on a vengeance mode, you know? He becomes, like, this subway strangler.
I just laugh because, like, I can't even picture that either. How would this have played out on stage?
Like, literally?
Not this scene. No. I'm saying, like, you know, her being, like, bloodied there. I wonder if they had that too.
I would think so. Okay, so primarily this incident, her going through this horrific experience, is being used as a bonding tool for the two of them. That seems to be its main use. Which, that by itself is not justifiable. Like, especially, like, a physical attack like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she could be, I don't know, that they run into one another another way, or they just have, like, some other second date and she is, you know, emotional. Like, it's fine if you have, like, clearly he's got issues too, so if you want to have two characters, lack of a better word, that are broken and need to help one another, like he is right now by saying, like, oh, this is easy listening music, and trying to, like, calm her down because she feels like it's her fault, and clearly it's not her fault. By itself, not good. I mean, you know, still, I'm not a screenwriter, so I'm sure there's another way to tell it.
Yeah, and honestly, like, from a director's point of view, just to go back to, like, the Hoffman thing, I think I'm actually liking the way things are being shown, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, I don't think they're necessarily being insensitive. Is it, like, the one,
no.
You know, is it the wisest call to make? Like, the most, you know, like, I spent 10 years later, the most woke display? No. Because then, yeah, so right after this scene, like, in the hospital, then it's just, like, him and John Ortiz, like, problem is, you don't know how to cook. So herein lies, here's, like, the, not the initial incident, but just, like, the big catalyst for the movie, as far as, I guess, to get to that, one of that, the final scenes of... Because this movie is about a character that's definitely, like, delayed in life, right? We've seen him, you know, he doesn't know how to socialize that well. He's, you know, this is the only friend we see him interacting with. But then even his friend doesn't have, you know, we think that he has a good marriage and we find out that it's not a good marriage.
I like that. I'll ride in the back and be the big shot. Who are Lucy and Cannoli? Lucy's his wife?
I think so, yeah. Let me, I'm going to pull
up. Okay, but who's Cannoli?
The actor's name is Salvatore Inzerillo. I don't think we've seen...
I mean, his name's Cannoli, so that's not surprising. Food of films.
But I don't think we've seen him yet.
What do you think of the pace of this film?
It's pretty good. I feel like there's...
So we're a third in.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I think there's a good pace to it. I think that there's
that
a good...
We're farther than you thought, or we're not as far as you thought?
No, I guess farther. I mean, I know it's not that long of a movie, so... But... yeah, I think there's a good pacing to it, a good pacing in the length of the scenes, and then just how they display these scenes with their choice of cinematography and the editing pace of it as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it as a play, right? Like, what would be the acts if there was, like, theoretically, or even just a movie, right? Like, what are the three acts? But again, acts aren't like just by time, you know, not like 30 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, the inciting incident was maybe her getting hit or whatever happened to her, her attacked.
I mean,
or would you call it just like the original date?
Yeah, I'd say the original date because that's the, I mean, the movie's about him. And then the second thing is about his relationship with her. So I guess I would say that initial dinner. Okay, so now I need to. I feel bad. Keep just saying their name. So Clyde. Okay, that's John Ortiz's character's name. So Clyde is explaining to Jack this history between Cannoli and Lucy, who, yes, is, you know, the character of Daphne Rubin Vega.
Whew. Wait, have we ever seen him without the hat, Hoffman?
Yeah.
Huh. When was it?
Just earlier in the film, you'd think he took it off for a second.
Not a lot of music in this film. It's a very, like, just deliver dialogue, like, intimate moments kind of thing.
That's interesting. Like, no... I'm sure that's keeping it closer to this, you know, stage adaptation.
Yeah, like, there's no music. If you guys have your volume down, there's no music right now, for example. There's not, like, a dramatic score in the background. Now, a small piano score is playing now. It's just, that's, like, really what it is. Nothing that's going to, like, overpower you. Not like an orchestra, you know?
Yeah.
This feels very play-like, right? Like, this kind of dialogue?
Yeah. It's dark already. So this is the... there are snow people. So this is the date before the summertime. So it's clearly winter, so it was quite some time before summertime.
You were a single man back in the day.
Yes.
After you went on a date, and the girl says, "I should invite you up, but my place is messy." What's your line?
Let me help you clean it up.
You would really say that?
I don't know. I would get a vibe for like how she's saying it or something.
What's
like that.
The vibe you can see Amy Ryan right now? They're talking. They had a good time. She says, "I'd invite you up." So my place.
Why not too much about this because of like how the rest of the movie is played out, and she also went through like a recent traumatization with like a guy. You know, on the subway.
Would you do this? Would you give at least a kiss goodnight?
Yeah.
Did you kiss on the first date? Were you a kiss on the first date kind of guy?
If I wanted to see them again.
Yes, okay. When I say date, it's like someone you're interested in, not someone, you know. So yes?
Yeah. Yeah, for the most, I think there's only like a few times I was like, have a good night. Yeah, and that was just someone that I definitely wasn't interested in seeing again. It all depends. It depends on if you're going on a date and it's kind of like a mutual understanding of like, yeah, let's just have some fun tonight.
No, I know some people are like, I don't even kiss on the first date.
To each their own, but I don't know, just, get out of the way, see if see if there's something there.
Well, did you kiss your current partner on the first date?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I kissed my wife on our first date.
Yeah, and I specifically remember where we stopped and everything. Very specific moment.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a nice memory.
Ooh, foodie scenes all about in this.
What are those?
Look
red,
at this dessert.
Red pears?
This is totally like he's the driver, but he gets to look at which I'm going to call a little bit bullshit on.
I
because
want a taste of this.
Everyone's been to a wedding, you know. Like I'm sure he's got friends who are going to get married.
Yeah, but that looks like a pretty in the city, like a pretty extravagant affair.
Fair, but weddings these days, at least in the Northeast.
Still, I mean, you have to be, you know. Pretty well off. I mean, you just had a wedding.
But not to have it, but to be invited?
I don't know. Oh, there's Ganol. There's the Ganol.
Oh, that's the Ganol.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was cousins with the Gabagool.
Oh, what do I know her from? I've just been... I need to see if I recognize if she's... On the IMDb page for this, I just recognized her for a second, that actress. Yeah, well, she's Elizabeth Rodriguez, Waldorf event assistant. What have you been in?
Ooh, look at that cutting of the cucumber. Ooh. Wait, why is he working with him? I don't remember this part. I guess I wasn't paying attention.
This is the... Okay, so this is... That's why he was explaining that Lucy has a history with cannoli, because... He wants to teach him how to cook for Connor.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So that. Now I remember. So they're clearly still talking. Awkward.
Oh, Shameless. She was on the most recent season of Shameless.
Okay.
That's what the most recent thing. But she's been in a lot of stuff. Orange is the New Black, The Drop, Miami Vice, Logan.
Everyone's like dropping everything to teach Jack like to date this girl.
Yeah, he definitely, with his, friendship with Clyde, definitely a lot of good, I don't know, some people don't have to, you can still be considered a good friend and you don't have to be this active in assisting a friend.
Yeah, this is very active.
Like, this is to the level of, like, I never learned how to snowboard because, like, in high school, I had friends that, like, would go snowboarding. I never, ever would be like, but guys, can you, like, can you pay to go snowboarding but stay on the bunny slopes with me and, like, teach me and hang out with me? So to be master kickboard champion.
What's the skill do you think that... Like, you'd be the best at teaching somebody.
Online dating.
I was like, I'm not trying to be a dick, but I was like, what I don't even think – I was trying to think, like, what could I tell someone? Like, oh, this is Kyle's skill. If he teaches you, you'll be the best at it, right? Like, and I didn't think about it, but you're right. Online dating would be one of them.
Online dating. I think planning an event, like a party, like a proper, like amount, like a nice spread. I'll include like
making, deli meats.
Deli
meats.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I'll include like making, like, you know, like sandwiches and stuff like that. Like how to properly, like, you really want, like, you know, you could easily toss like meat and cheese and some condiments and toppings onto a couple pieces of bread, but if you want like a nice, evenly, you know, distributed.
Not to cut you off, but what a weird scene, right?
Yeah, I remember this like playing out in the trailer. As you're just like walking across it, so that's what is that, the is that Harlem River Driver FDR? I think.
Looked like it. It looked like the FDR.
So I think they must live in Long Island City, or at least,
or right across the river. Like, yeah, either one side or the other.
Is that Roosevelt Island in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. What would be your thing, Brian? I'll flip it on you.
I don't know. It's a good question.
I think for both of us also, I think between food and travel...
Travel, yeah.
Like, are we saying, like, we're saying, podcasts, like, really good advice, right? That's what we're...
Yeah, like, if we had to go that intense, like, John Ortiz swim lessons, right? Like, both of us could give, like, podcast advice, like, how to get your podcast started.
Sure, yeah. And, I mean, I could do that for, like, some video stuff, some basic, like, you really want, like, oh, you want to learn how to, like, shoot properly and that kind of stuff. I could do that.
Specifically erotic videos, right?
Well, that's what comes after online dating, so, yeah. Dr. Bob. Hey, Ryan. Has Amy Ryan been in anything recently?
You know, she had such, like, a moment, but I haven't seen her in a while. That's a really good point.
I mean, in
2020, you mind looking her up?
We've got two things in 2020, Worth, and the other thing is called Lost Girls. I don't recognize either of those titles.
No, I don't. I haven't seen her in
a Oh, no, only two episodes. I was going to say there's that series High Maintenance, but supposedly she's only been on two episodes.
Oh, but yeah, that show is like a anthology, kind of.
Okay.
Like, the main guy is like a weed dealer.
Gotcha.
But each story is different. Like,
he
delivers to someone else, and then, you know, things happen.
Yeah, she really, like, her last, whatever kind of film you want to call it, successful, like, of something of, you know, like, a well-made, Bridge of Spies in 2015 with Spielberg. Yeah, she's been in stuff since, like, she was in Central Intelligence, so, I mean, whatever you want to, you know, like, that is with the biggest star in the world right now, The Rock. She was in The Infiltrator with, why am I totally blanking on his name? Bryan Cranston.
Gotcha. Queen's Girl. I don't know. I haven't looked this up, but I wouldn't be shocked if she did a lot of theater.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Daphne Rubin Vega, by the way. Looking good.
That would be a good profile photo for an online dating website or whatever, or app.
That's that. I mean, unless you're looking for something specific, that'd be very misleading.
Daphne Rubin Vega. She's Panamanian. I was curious, like, what her, you know, what ethnic background was. So she was in the play as well.
Yeah. So definitely a stage actor, given that, and Rent.
So Philip Seymour Hoffman was Jack in the original showing at the Public, which, by the way, you know, I don't know if you guys out there are familiar with the Public, but if you have a play at the Public, you're awesome. The Public, first of all, they put on Shakespeare in the Park, the world famous Shakespeare in the Park in Central Park. And maybe, you know, you might not be familiar with it if you're not from New York, but theoretically is a bad way to put it. Let's see. Hamilton, great example. Hamilton's first run. When Hamilton was off Broadway, it was at the Public.
There you go. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, that should tell you everything. You know, Hamilton's a worldwide phenomenon. But when it was off Broadway, that's where it was. So you do something at the Public, you're, yeah. So Jack Goes Boating was at the Public.
Gotcha. Was it ever on Broadway?
Oh, I wonder. You know, I don't know. I don't think so. Because, like, not every play at the Public goes Broadway. You know, Broadway's traditionally, like, I don't want to say 90%, but what percentage would you say was, like, musicals? You know, a lot of it.
Yeah, musicals, just, like, kind of, like, larger-than-life stuff. Like, I know that they had, number one, I'm rarely in the theater district. Number two, I don't go to a lot of shows. But, for instance, I know that there was that one 2 summers ago with, like, Kerry Russell and Adam Driver that was doing really well.
Yeah, you'll have that, but they're usually led by, like, Hollywood A-listers like Adam Driver.
Exactly.
By the way, this is a supermarket, or it was, a supermarket that isn't open anymore. It was a food emporium, and it's built in under the Queensboro Bridge. One of the most, like, cool-looking supermarkets. I believe they've decided to reopen something else in there. I think Target or Whole Foods is going to, like, open in there. One of the big chains. Oh, now we're back to it. I'll look it up right now. Let's see. What a Queensboro Bridge supermarket.
Isn't there that other big market that's like in the subway somewhere?
In the subway?
Some kind of underground market like in Manhattan?
Possibly. Well, my point is, like, it's a great place to shoot. It was literally at the time, like, you know, I don't know, maybe it was open for, like, 10 years. It was probably the most beautiful supermarket in the world, or, like, top 10. Wow. Because it had these high arching ceilings that were not ceilings. They were under the bridge, you know?
I see.
Like, if you looked up.
Yeah. That's cool. That's a shame.
Trader Joe's bought the location, so.
Oh, great. Well, there will be plenty Hawaiian shirts. And planks of
wood. That would make me believe that they're on the Manhattan side of the bridge, which is a rather hip neighborhood today, but at the time they shot this, it was still kind of, not bad, not at all, but just like, you know.
Affordable.
yeah, that's a good way to put it. Oh, so John Ortiz hasn't been as faithful either.
Yeah.
Monogamy's too cruel a rule, am I right? That's a line from Friends, sorry. It's tough to be married, though. Who says that in Friends? So, Ross...
That sounds too... Like, oh. Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds. It's not like... Not that it's a wise saying, but that just doesn't sound like something Joey would say. Although,
No, it's a side character. Ross sleeps with the copy girl when he's on the break from Rachel, depending on what side you're on. And... The other guy who works at the copy place has, like, a big afro, but he's, like, a white guy. And he's, like, and Ross comes in to try to be, like, don't tell anyone. And he's, like, oh, yeah, I hear you, man. Monogamy's too cruel a rule. Are you Team Ross or Team Rachel when it comes to They Were on a Break?
I don't like Ross. But she made it seem bigger than, like, just like what then she came back and said, like, no, we just, like, we had a fight and, like, we were on a pause, like, not a break, like, we didn't break, like...
No, she said a break from us. They were very clearly on a break. However, yeah. Her argument shouldn't be whether they were on a break or not. Her argument should be,
how do you go and sleep with someone right away?
Exactly. We were broken up for what, like 20 minutes? Not 20 minutes, but like a night, and you had sex with somebody, like, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Exactly. Like, yeah, so that's that, yeah. So if I'm gonna, if she made that argument, I'm on her side, but other than that, oh, there we go, there's his hair. There's the dress.
Oh, yeah. Kind of. So what happened? What happened?
What I take was not too great of a...
I think she couldn't do it, if I remember correctly. Oh, there you go. Very clear.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think she's still traumatized, but then she just...
I get it.
Like you said, it's in a very straightforward way.
Yeah.
It okay. This is with everything watching it this time, and obviously the world we live in, and just trying to be more sensitive and stuff like that. I think I would play this movie as. And again, you're still using it as a device, but by making it part of her backstory, I think is a bit better than, like, experiencing it on camera. Like if we learn that she has had something happen to her in the past... I don't know if you still even want to keep it in, like, that she was assaulted and, like, you know.
Yeah, it's tough for two guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, like, it really is. Like, that's why I'm glad we did have Joanne on the podcast. Joanne or Joanna? I'm sorry,
Joanna.
Joanna. Okay, that's what I thought. You know why? So I started saying Joanna, then I stopped because, like. Her last name begins with an A as well. I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe I'm just combining it. I don't necessarily like his reaction. It's a little weird. I guess it's weird, but it definitely
makes sense with what just kind of character we're getting to learn, like his awkwardness.
So yeah, I don't know if I like him, I guess what I'm going to say. That doesn't mean I don't like the movie, but it's not a character.
No, that's like definitely it. Like, in this movie, like, it definitely has its kind of like jarring and awkward moments, and this is definitely one of them. This is not how we normally experience sex in film.
No, and I don't mind that, right? Because, like, the way we normally experience sex in film isn't accurate either. I think, though, I kind of even like his character in Love, Liza.
You don't do it in five different locations in your apartment every time you have sex and wake up on the floor.
Yes, and it only, you know, even though it looks like it lasted long, it was only 20 seconds, like, in a movie. Yeah. Sex in film has changed so much, though, like, even from 2010, that if you theoretically watch, like, the first couple seasons of Game of Thrones, you're like, oh my god! You know, at the time, it wasn't, like, it was jarring, but it wasn't, like, crazy. Like, now you watch it, like, what the? Like, am I watching violent porn? You know? We've changed society, and again, it's important, even a movie that's 10 years old, to remember that things are not the same.
Yeah. A movie that's 10 years old, and when did you remember just by reading things about the play when it initially?
I can check now. Let me see. Who knows how similar the movie is to the play, though? Jack Goes Boating Play.
Okay, so yeah.
I'm wondering if, like, you know, I don't want to be negative, but theoretically this lasts, like, a lot longer if we're going to see more and more plays on TV and stuff, on streaming wise.
Oh.
That'd be a way to like kind of bring it back, you know? Because like I feel bad because we're watching all these movies and films, and nothing wrong with films. You and I are big films guys, but for the theater community, just have like...
Well, I guess that would be a problem. I mean, are you... Oh, you're saying to the audience, like, if we
kind of
get back to normal, but we don't want people sitting next to one of the audience? Because I was going to say, obviously, you're going to have the actors next to one another on stage.
Yeah, but they say, like, we're going to do this in steps, right? Like, and the first step won't be like, all right, everyone go outside. Like, the first step will be, for example, wrestling. You know, they had WrestleMania, and they'll have... That's a type of performance, right? And they have live wrestling every week.
What do you mean, you know, performance?
But couldn't they do the same thing with a play, right? Like, everyone on there is still performing, but there's just no audience.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Did this guy actually have no legs? Or I hope they used an actor who was, like, accurate to what they wanted, you know?
I would... Not, like, think so, just because it's, I don't know, not a large role, so, I mean, also wouldn't be as hard to find.
And not a big budget either. What was the budget for this film? I can't imagine it was a lot.
Budget. I don't know. I see box office, what it made. Oh, you want to know what it made opening weekend in Spain?
Yes, exactly. That's what I wanted to know.
$46,023. Worldwide gross on this is only 800. How would you say? $801,206.
Wow. To the dollar.
Yeah.
Well, that's not accurate because I just paid $3.99 for it, so it probably went up a little bit.
It doesn't say the budget.
If you had to have a food nickname, what would it be? Well, I guess the ham counts.
Yeah, it's the ham.
What would my food nickname be? Because that guy's the cannoli.
Yeah. Your food nickname, Shuckster.
Aw, shucks.
Or,
Mother Shucker.
Mother Shucker. You don't have, like, a Mother Shucker kind of...
I don't have a motherly vibe to you?
That's not exactly what I imagine when I hear Mother Shucker, is that of the maternal presence.
How about Daddy Shucker?
Daddy Shucker. I'm trying to incorporate some of your Latino pride into it. So
the Platano Shucker?
Papi Platano.
No, I'm definitely not. Like, I am, you know, Dominican, Latino. Like, I would never, ever think of myself as Papi Platano. Central Park here. Bethesda Fountain in the background. A lot of films have filmed at Bethesda Fountain, of course. You know what? I even think Les Quartet films a lot at Bethesda Fountain in Central Park.
Oh, yeah. I remember... Okay, so this is before... you know, we were doing our own podcast. I mean, obviously when we were, you know, we each didn't have our own podcast when we were doing the initial run of P.S. I Love Hoffman. But I think we at least then brought up, not in the for the sake of my podcast, Foodie Films, but said, like, oh, we would have loved to have seen a chef movie starring him.
Oh, yeah, we've mentioned that a lot, because he would have been great as a...
Like, this is the closest we get.
This is the closest, yeah. This is a pretty foodie film, Kyle. I don't know if you might want to add it to your
I wouldn't know if it would necessarily be... Still, like, to do a whole episode talking about this film, but...
You know what's funny? If this was called, like, Jack Does Cooking, you would add it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because the title matters. Don't pretend it doesn't.
I'm not.
Are you a visualizer? Like, do you, like, picture yourself doing something, then you do it? It's clear that Jack is that kind of person.
I'm a visual person, but I'm not a visualizer. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, now, visualizer is someone who, like, before that, is like, okay, I'm picturing myself in this scenario.
No, I'm very much on the fly in that sense.
Gotcha.
Yeah. For better or for worse. Oh, God.
This movie has got me really hungry. So you say it's not a foodie film? Whatever. I'm hungry. What's for dinner tonight, Kyle? What are you eating by yourself?
I don't know. I kind of had like a big... I've already had breakfast and lunch, so maybe something light for dinner, because I shouldn't be eating like three meals every day. And I had a delicious sandwich, a buffalo chicken sandwich for lunch from a local...
I don't know if you can say like we shouldn't be eating three meals a day, because...
I shouldn't be. I said ancient
humans ate like multiple meals a day. They just weren't that big.
I'm someone that I shouldn't be eating like your three like standard meals. I should be more of like just like picking here and there. That would be better for if I want to be healthier, I think.
Makes sense.
I know my body. Don't tell me otherwise.
Oh my God.
Oh, he's so awkward.
He said invite the cannoli.
poor Jack just way wants to make everything. It weird. But at the same time, like it's not like I really am like, it's not like I'm a fan of Jack per se. I can tell you now, I really want pork chops.
And applesauce?
Very Brady Bunch pork chops and applesauce.
How did that become popular? Like, not the Brady Bunch, like that line from that show. It's weird because pork chops, not as common as they used to be. Even growing up, pork chops were like a pretty common thing, but you don't see them on too many just home menus anymore.
Yeah, that was a pretty standard dish that I grew up eating. Just like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know, like
pork chops and usually some kind of potato, maybe like cheesy, like scallion potatoes.
This quarantine time has made me really think of, like, you know, we've been cooking a lot here, and it's like, if I had a family, if I have kids, like, what would I cook? And, like, did your parents have a different meal 7 days a week? Like, how did that go?
Yeah, I mean, when I was little, we would go to my mother's, like, so both grandmothers, because by the time I was five, neither of my grandfathers were alive. So it was always, like, went to my grandmother from my mom's side on Saturdays and grandmother, dad's side on Sundays. So that was, like, weekends were taken care of. And each of them had pretty much, like, a rotation of, like, five different dishes that you would cook up. So you weren't eating the same thing either, you know, every Saturday or Sunday. And then, yeah, during the week, it was not like a, you know, every once in a while it'd be like, oh, we've got leftovers, let's do a leftovers night, but not, you know, not like I'm just cooking the same thing again tonight.
I mean, early on, it was like a lot of rice and beans in my family. And then, you know, it would, like, I think the meat would change, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there's definitely more commonality in, like, the sides, like, have, like, a big potato or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it was like rice and beans with steak today, rice and beans with pork tomorrow, rice and beans with chicken, you know, and then occasionally. And then eventually, like, my mother would cook a lot of different stuff, but it's funny, I think, like, today, I don't know, I don't want to criticize the parents of today, and I know we're, like, veering off topic, but I'm thinking, like, dinner party. Oh, hookah!
So many different cultures being represented.
I'm thinking of, like, the, like, kids today, I'm wondering if they're like, oh, I'll have the foie gras, or, like, I'll have, like, you know, I feel like they, like, decide more, you know, like, what do you want today, little Jimmy? And for me, it was just like, this is what we're eating? Okay, you know? Not that it was bad, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely has changed over the years. There was, like, I think that middle period. I mean, you know what? I mean, I think what any parent and then even, or any, like, doctor would, like, say, like, pediatrician or something like that would be, like, just as long as they're eating something, they're eating, you know? Like, that's, like, usually I think a big thing when it's just like, oh, my kid's picking.
Oh, I thought, wait a minute. I thought it was hookah, but it's hashish. Sorry.
Oh.
I used to get high with a bagpipe. player. Okay. I thought. Okay, sorry. A lot of drugs in this movie.
Yeah, really breaks down towards the end. It's funny. It's just like while Jack and Connie's relationship is like evolving, Connie and starting to get into a normal place, it's like then their stable friends are breaking down.
Yeah.
This, I mean, I guess you could, anytime four people are in a room and they're about to have a meal, like anyone could always just say, oh, this has a Virginia Woolf vibe to it, or Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, I should say.
Yeah. Oh, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf vibe? Not a Virginia Woolf vibe.
No, yeah.
His hair is so bad. It's so bad. I know it's on purpose, but...
Yeah, it's definitely I guess it's supposed to... There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of quirks for this character. And, like, early on, like, that, you know, that scene that we're having them in their town cars and stuff like that, and he's talking about the reggae music, like, so you're like, oh, okay, that's, like, that justifies this hair or whatever. But I don't know, I'd like to see him maybe at least be, like, going to, like, see a show or something, just being that much more, like, he just doesn't have this hair because he likes the music. Like, just listens to it on a, you know, CD, or, you know, I whatever he was listening to it on. If he had an iPod, I don't know.
You're a big hookah guy, right?
No.
Come on, you're not a big hookah guy. I'm kidding.
There was a time that, like, I would go to, like, hookah spots.
What? Why?
I don't know. It was just, like, something. It felt like, oh, like, because you were allowed to after you were 18 years old, but it kind of felt like, you know, like, we knew, like, just felt like something kind of, like, adult and, like, a little weird and forbidden, I guess.
At my bachelor party, I yelled at my two cousins for trying to leave the group to find a hookah spot in Asheville, North Carolina, which, to their credit, they did.
And then your one cousin eventually did in Charleston.
Yes. Technically, there was a hookah there, but whatever. I forgot about that.
But it wasn't hashish.
No. It was not hashish. It wasn't a wild and crazy bachelor party. It wasn't a naked ladies and stuff like that. It was a lot of breweries and a lot of good times.
It was such a fun trip.
Remember when trips... Remember that?
Yeah. I mean, just so much has changed since that trip, even.
God damn it. Remember when we could just have dinner parties like this?
It's fantastic.
Me and my wife and you and your partner had a dinner party, I think, not too long ago in terms of social times, right?
No.
I don't know if it was a dinner party. I think we all...
It's kind of wine and cheese.
Yeah, wine and cheese night. I mean, God, I miss those times, though. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, it was after your wedding, but it was before... Yeah. Obviously before all this, I was going to say.
They're talking about, like, if they don't find a vaccine, like, 2022 and stuff.
Yeah.
No, find a vaccine. Now, you're an asthmatic.
Something's burning. This is funny.
Oh, I forgot about... Oh.
Yeah, that's the whole...
This is why... No pun intended, but this is why the film gave me a bad taste in its mouth. Because, like, at this point, it seems like it's going to go so well. And then... Oh!
Yeah, well, at that point, it's just like, you know, they're just all laughing and having fun. And then we just hear the smoke detector. And it's just, So what we've seen from Jack in this film, in your opinion, is this reaction right now expected and, like, justified? Again, from, like, what we've experienced, not just as, like, a person, but, like, justifiable.
No, not justifiable. But is it something that I'm... It's surprising, if that's the question?
Yeah, no, it's still, like, I mean, this movie, as I said earlier, has, like, its jarring moments.
it's jarring for sure, but I'm not shocked because he put so much stock into this dinner that he was visualizing, he was practicing it. I get it, he did a little hashish. I've never done hashish, but I'm assuming your time perspective changes a little bit and he forgot. But that's... If you want to be cool in that situation, laugh it off. You know, be like, oh my God, I'm such an idiot. You don't know how long I planned to do this, and I really screwed it up.
Yeah, which is definitely not what I'm expecting from the Jack character.
No, exactly. I was going to say, this is more accurate to the Jack character than it was me and you. I think it was me and you, we'd be disappointed. We wouldn't be crying. We wouldn't take a bat to things. We wouldn't be like upset. But we would be like, oh, fuck, I'm really sorry. Let me order. You know, I'm on me. I'm going to order something for us.
It's a little interesting that he goes so big, so hard, so fast, and just locks himself in the bathroom. Like, I almost wish there was, like, a quick, like, a little bit more time, like, them discussing. I don't know. Like, it's just a very...
I get that, but he almost reminds me of a child in some respects, and I think this is something like a child would do, if that makes sense.
Oh, definitely, yeah. The rivers of Babylon.
This is so weird. I'm sorry. It is. Do you know what this is from? Because I don't.
This like song where it's been used before?
Or no, like... I'm assuming this is a real song. I'll look it up. They all seem to know the words. That's why I'm kind of confused. Sing.
It's performed by the Melodians.
It's just weird that they all know all the words, you know?
I mean, was it a big song for, like, their age bracket?
Could be. I guess it's possible. Okay, so there's more of a recovery than I thought.
Yeah. Jesus.
Oh, I leave this movie depressed for Jon Ortiz.
Yeah, he just has such like a, like it's definitely more of a heartbreaking breakdown than Jax.
This is going to sound weird, and you know this is P.S. I love Hoffman, you know I love Hoffman. I would watch this film on like a Jon Ortiz and Daphne Rubin Vega perspective, if that makes sense, you know, and have like Jack and Amy Ryan be kind of the side characters. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in them. I'm interested. That's a lot of lines. I'm not a cocaine expert. I've actually never done cocaine. But it seems like a lot of lines of cocaine. No?
I mean,
they did like four or five each.
Four or five each? Oh, yeah. No, that's a lot. I thought it was like four lines and they each did two.
Maybe it was spread off like over some time, but the song in the background makes it sound like it did it right away.
Yeah, the paranoid.
The cannoli called. Oh, and her phone, no. She literally said, fucking paranoid moment.
So the Melodians version. Oh, Ganol. The cooking guy.
The way he said it. The cooking guy. Like, he's scared.
Doesn't something happen to his hand? Ooh, I hate hands and doors stuff.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah.
We like, didn't see
it. Wasn't
see
bad,
there, really.
But it was still...
Yeah.
Reach. So the Melodians version, reached an international audience thanks to the soundtrack album of the 1972 film The Harder They Come.
And how's that spelled?
Which is what?
Nothing. Anyway, well, I don't know that film.
Which is credited with having brought reggae to the world.
What? Oh, I'm fascinated by that. I gotta look that up.
The Harder They Come is a 1972 Jamaican crime film.
Oh, sorry, this is like heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
Oh, and then Jack just sees like what I think like, you know, he uses just like such a stable, you know, piece of his life.
Oh my God. Oh.
This movie just teases you. You think like the low is like Jack's freak out. Then the
I thought I remembered it as that.
Then the real shit fucking hits. Oh man. Oh god, the stupid fucking
I do like that she just like brought it to him like that. Kyle, I know the movie's almost ending, but I'm going to need you to take 5 seconds of yourself because my computer is about to die, and that would be very bad for the podcast, so...
All right, I'll keep this going.
Keep it going.
Believe in me, Hoff fans. Oh, God, yeah, like I said, this is really... Yeah. We got Connie taking charge of their relationship. Sounds familiar. It's just leaving them there like that. I don't know about you guys, but real moments like this, while have been in some brilliant movies, I just can't take them sometimes. Like, you know, in the end, any movie and sports are supposed to be like escapism, and you know, that's why you got a team that's shit in the bed all the time. I kind of stop watching it because I want to be entertained. A movie like this, you know, you get something nice and beautiful forming their relationship, but just seeing that breakdown of Lucy and
I agree.
And Brian is back.
Woo.
What was John Ortega's
John Ortega racist? John Ortiz.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just joking.
Clyde. He doesn't feel like a Clyde.
He does not feel like a Clyde.
Yeah, and everyone's name. Lucy, Connie, Jack, but Clyde. Clyde just...
She definitely looks like a Lucy, right? Like, Jack works. Even Connie works, right?
Yeah.
Clyde, eh. It's just amazing that they're, like, still trying despite all the shit that's going on around them.
That's
a weird kind of romance.
What we all have to do, Brian, with all the shit going on around us, we have to try.
Amen.
This is uncomfortable.
It's a little weird. The dialogue is a little weird, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I would definitely. I would like to. I'm gonna read some reviews on this and just get some people's like opinion, or maybe it would be better to read reviews. Well, to see number one, the play is similar, and just see what it's like on the stage. It's like obviously stage is just so much more raw and just like.
It's a different language, you know? It's so yeah. different.
So, like, what it was like, what it's meant to be, or not even meant to be, or just, you know, interpreted as by people that are very familiar with just, you know.
So, now that we've kind of seen sort of the both of them, look, something might change, and Jack goes boating to change your mind, but I doubt it. We don't have that much left. But I'll say this.
That was some of Philip Seymour Hoffman's high school wrestling experience right there.
I think I would prefer Love, Liza. You know, if I had to vote again. I forgot what I voted for, but now we're getting some nice cool like indie songs and I like the pool. This is a nice pool. Wherever they shot this, it looks cool.
Or at least,
I love that he's like, you know what? I'm coming in.
Yeah. Well, at least then, you know, so I'm happy for Clyde in the sense that they have one another. Him and or I
and
don't
he finally
know,
goes
know.
Boating. Wait, you think it didn't work out with the two of them?
I don't know, but definitely they have to. I should say at least he has him like right now, like because at least if they're still together, they're working on a lot of shit. I'm sure that's not the last big argument they had.
No, look, they're in. Oh, I thought you meant Hoffman and, I forgot, Connie.
No, Clyde, meant, Clyde and Lucy I was referring to.
Gotcha. It wouldn't shock me if they were still together, though. It wouldn't. Because, like, there's a lot of couples who just, like, have to work through stuff, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I want them to still be together, but it wouldn't shock me if they were.
Brian, let me tell you by looking at the locations of Jack Goes Boating on IMDb. First of all, that diner was in Maspeth, Queens.
Okay, that makes sense.
Shot
a lot in Queens here. You know,
yeah,
Queens guy. Amy Ryan, Queens person.
The swimming pool is the Hansboro Swimming Pool, 35 West 134th Street.
I'm not familiar with that.
In Harlem. Oh, she does leave. She's just leaving keys. Lucy was leaving keys on the table.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's even honestly like because it's just like two moments. Like you I forgot that that's like this is also the subplot.
Yeah, he's trying to get a job at the MTA. Have you done that? Not just like, I don't mean just like with a woman. Have you done like a rowing in a park or something like that? It's not for me. I don't have a lot of upper body strength. A mutual friend of ours, Anthony, loves it. One of his favorite pastimes.
Really?
I don't think he's done it like pretty often because, you know, he's a baby now, but like he...
Well, he's a nice wholesome Italian, so...
Like him and Elena, a lot of early dates were like, let's row in the park.
Like that, like in Central Park?
I wouldn't be surprised. I couldn't tell you.
Oh, well,
sure,
they were...
But...
I mean, that's also... I don't know. I guess when you're, like, college sweethearts and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know. And certainly in, like... So they both studied abroad together, and I know they did that quite often in Europe.
Well, that's how Europeans get around.
Yes, in Venice. Was that the final shot?
I guess so.
Wow. What an interesting film. I love how it says on the corner because we're watching on Amazon on a shared screen. Next up, Star Trek. Why?
Because which Hoffman Star Trek and, is it?
It's like I can't really tell. It's like in a corner. Okay. But Hoffman and Ortiz were the both producers on this film.
Okay.
So Kyle, that was Jack Goes Boating, Hoffman's only directorial film. Costume designer, I don't know if you just saw, Mimi O'Donnell, his partner, the mother of his children. But again, music by Grizzly Bear, great band. I didn't realize that was who did the music. And, you know, it's subtly in the background, so I totally get that. But, you know, Mimi O'Donnell again involved. So very personal, personal film here.
Calling in all the favors.
I don't know, like, I haven't really checked on her career, but I know she was very, very, very talented. I'm sure still is, if she's still active. Again, I'm not sure. Look, produced in association with Labyrinth Theater Company, which was his theater company, so it makes so much sense. Yeah, I'm glad we watched it. I'm glad we watched it again. There were certain things that we thought originally that were confirmed. There were certain things that, like, I see more positively. It was good that we got to do both personal Hoffman projects this month. And there was no mid-month this month. We gave you a little bit of gift by watching a different film. But we still got to vote, right? Because we're a democracy here. We're not turning into a dictatorship. Well, there's not going to be like
well, a... Well, not the podcast, at least.
No comment. But, you know, we want to put that out there. We want to say, like, that you Hoff fans should vote. And we want you to vote on Instagram, on Facebook. We still want you to be a part of this. But on the other hand... We're going to go week to week with this, whether we do rewatches, whether we do like mid-month and just talk. There's not a lot of new Hoffman news, obviously, coming out these days.
Yeah, at least right now with the time that we have on our hands. Hey, we're, you know, it's fun. That's why we started a podcast, to watch some Hoffman films.
So when I say all that, it means that there's no guarantee that we're going to do both these films on the ballot. We're definitely going to do the one that wins, and who knows what we choose for the next one, but I don't think it would be fair if we made you vote and then do both films like we did this month. Regardless, we want you to vote, and the two films are going to be Flawless and The Big Lebowski. So, Kyle, first, Flawless. We haven't seen it in a while. I mean, I haven't seen it in a while. What do you think about that one on the ballot?
I would be, both of these, I mean, I would be excited to rewatch and kind of digest again. I mean, I do love The Big Lebowski. I am very pro Lebowski, but I think I would I might be voting for Flawless because, you know, it's the we get so much more Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he's collaborating with one of the greatest actors of all time, Bobby De Niro. So
I know what you're saying, right? Like, so more of the Hoffman film is Flawless, but Big Lebowski is certainly more the popular film, if that makes sense. I don't know where I'm going to go with this one. I think I'm with you. I think I might prefer to watch Flawless because it's got more Hoffman. It's an early performance. It's a performance he's talked a lot about. But if you and I, before May 5th, when we sit down and we watch a film, again, probably in separate homes, I wouldn't be disappointed watching The Big Lebowski. I wouldn't be disappointed with either choices. I'm with you.
All I know is both of the original episodes for these films, one with my buddy Leon Mengen, who is a big Brandt fan. Like, you can even see, he's such a big... He's the gentleman that did the artwork for P.S. I Love Hoffman. And you can see, like... The Philip Seymour Hoffman that's in our logo is definitely like, you know, when I first, I love our logo and I'm very grateful to Leon for doing it, but it's not necessarily the Philip Seymour Hoffman that I always first think of, but after learning, you know, cause he did it for us and we did X amount of episodes and we're getting to Big Lebowski, we're having him on as a guest and I'm like, oh, after hearing how much he loves the character of Brandt, and that was like his introduction and just his most like memorable experience of Philip Seymour Hoffman, the artwork makes one like so much sense. And then for Flawless, we were really lucky to have on Ona or Anna Louise and Goldie Locks.
Yes, two glorious drag queens who run drag bingo all over the city. And we have Flawless on the ballot, Big Lebowski on the ballot. I'm curious who's going to win. I'm excited either way. And This was fun, as always, Kyle. Always appreciate it. It's good talking with you and hearing your voice. You know, I've been on your podcast recently. You've been on my podcast recently, or you're at least going to be. So, I mean, you were on the Substitute episode. God, I don't even know what day it is. Sorry.
Yes, all the days, especially, and you're putting them out twice a week, so.
Yeah, and I've spoken enough about High School Slumber Party, which you can find at cageclub.me. Anything you want to mention on Foodie Films? Are you good?
No, I mean, just check it out. I mean, it's kind of a great time. People, you know what people are doing a lot of right now? They're eating and they're watching movies. You know, we got two different types of episodes. We got the food-centric movie episodes, which necessarily, I mean, we did Last Temptation recently, which isn't very food-centric. It's about a very important, or involves a very important meal in history, but should be doing a very food-driven movie soon. And then just as far as my First Cut episodes, just great, great conversations. And I'm still to the point that, you know, I recorded a bunch of those, luckily in advance, because it's kind of hard. Those I do in person with people versus how Brian and I are recording right now. So that'd be tough to do, safely right now. So I just like to kind of do in my cold opens. I like to remind people all these were recorded beforehand. Just even in the sense of for our safety, me and my guests, and on top of that, that these are some local business people that they are struggling right now, so trying to bring some attention to them in that sense as well.
Absolutely, and we do give a shout out to our healthcare workers out there, our health heroes. Both you and I have family in the healthcare world, friends, of course, mutual friends. So, our friend Dan Kim, who was on our original run of, what was he on? One of the P.T. Anderson, The Master, one of your favorites. He was on the cover of Time magazine. I can't believe that.
It's not even just that he's on the cover. Like, you know, there's obviously a lot of people have been on the cover, but it's his story.
Yes, his photo essay.
It's his, like, or I shouldn't even, because then obviously if you're on the cover, your story's in the magazine. It's him as a photographer telling his personal story as a paramedic for Holy Name Hospital, which is a hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey that, I mean, you know, so many of the hospitals are just overflowing with COVID, you know, patients now, but Holy Name was early on was taking a lot.
So proud of him being in Time magazine and contributing and really showcasing the story of what he's going through in his job.
Yeah, just the mindset that a lot of these you know, healthcare professionals like have to, you know, I mean, you know, each of us are experiencing this world event in different ways, but for them to be out there and putting their lives on the line for the rest of us is something pretty, I mean, so many different. When talking to Dan, I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing that like you're on there. I'm like, but like under the circumstances, absolutely horrible and terrifying. But it's like, it's just like, it's every single kind of adjective out there for what, you know, this story and the, him being on the cover of Time, and then just what everyone that's out there and working and interacting with people, it's scary. So again, thank you very much for all of you doing that so we can be safe at home.
And speaking of being always home, Kyle, why don't you take us out?
Well, since we're always home, but separate right now, but to get together in spirit, stay uncool, Haw fans.
Sexy thing, you. I believe in miracles. Since you came along.